Okay, we're back at the Pleasant Street Tea Company on Pleasant Street in Gloucester with Heather Atwood with the story behind the story behind the recipe. And Heather, it's been a while, so welcome back.
Thank you. Yeah, we missed a week.
Yes, we did. However, in the meantime, I went to NAMA and met...
Niaz Dori.
Yes.
Bravo.
Yes.
She's brilliant, right?
Oh, it's amazing.
And yeah.
Enlightening and a brilliant lady.
Yeah, she really is. No, when you talk about fish, you don't realize that you're talking about changing the world.
I didn't realize how much that meant because she's not just a local. She doesn't deal with governments at all.
No. She's dealing with... what is she, like huge swaths of the earth. Mm-hmm. This is basically the way I can describe it. Yeah.
So go back and listen to that interview. Northwest Atlantic Marine
Alliance.
Alliance.
Good
Alliance.
Job for knowing that.
Forgot the Alliance. Okay, so we haven't had our pregame conversation. What's the topic?
The topic is rhubarb. I knew you'd love that.
Rhubarb.
Yeah.
This weather is good for the rhubarb.
It is very good for the rhubarb. Cool. Yeah. Good soil. Mm-hmm. Good composty soil. But rhubarb is happening right now. There's not much else happening in New England, in the New England earth right now, that's harvestable, except, I have to say, the Cape Ann Farmers Market had its debut market yesterday.
Oh, really?
Okay. It did. It's at Stageport Park in Gloucester, right? And it's quite a spectacular farmers market. I think it's been voted one of the best in the country, actually, maybe one of, like, 50 or something like that. And I was not there because I was dealing with my daughter's prom, so I missed it.
Congratulations, very good.
I had all my friends called in to say, oh, it's great this year. Mike Raymond's produce from First Light Farm looks fabulous. And who else was? Oh, I talked to my friends at Cape Ann Fresh Catch. They were there.
Okay.
They said
they're at the farmer's market?
Yep, they're at the farmer's market too, selling fish. So you can get your fresh fish every single Thursday at the Cape Ann Farmer's Market.
You realize you've made another task for me once my wife finds that out.
Well, that's my job, is to keep you busy, Rick.
Okay. That's great. That's a super bonus for me. And, you know, you mentioned one of the best in the country. I think for the venue alone, the scenery is spectacular.
Yeah, it's beautiful. The parking's easy, and you have, you know, you look out over the Atlantic Ocean, or, I don't know, is that the Gloucester Harbor, at least.
That's the Atlantic, yeah.
Yeah, and the big rock there, which is so symbolic, somebody stepped
Tablet
on it, right?
Rock.
Yes, right. No, it's gorgeous. It's a beautiful place to go for, you know, it's a family trip, it's a useful trip, because you can get all your shopping there.
Now, rhubarb, I remember rhubarb growing wild in the area when I was a little kid before we moved away. And I remember just grabbing it, and it reminds me, I haven't seen rhubarb in a long time, but the looks of it reminds me similar to celery, am I right?
Yes, exactly, okay. Pink celery, mm-hmm. Yeah. I don't think they're related, to tell you the truth. Mm-hmm. I can tell you that rhubarb came from China.
Of course it did.
Yeah, like everything else, right? Peonies came from China, okay. I mean, everything, the bird
flu.
Yeah, right, exactly. It all makes its way west. Actually, I just heard recently that everything goes west. Nothing ever goes east. Like when it circulates around the earth, like people travel west and things.
Well,
anyway.
It may have something to do with the angular momentum.
Right, exactly.
I'll give you an astronomy lesson at some point.
Okay. I would like that. So rhubarb was originally from China. It made its way probably through the spice trade and ended up in Europe. And our famous botanist friend, Benjamin Franklin, went to England, and he discovered rhubarb, and he brought it to the colonies.
Hmm.
So that's how we ended up with rhubarb plants.
Really? From Franklin?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Benjamin Franklin.
And where did he bring it? Where did it originate? Did it go back to Pennsylvania? Where did it go?
Mm-hmm. Pennsylvania. He took it. So.
All right, so I know you've got more than a little bit of a history lesson.
Well, I have a cocktail.
Oh.
All right? That's what I have.
Stop it. Yeah. Stop. A rhubarb cocktail?
Yeah.
Oh, geez.
Here we go.
And you would love it.
Yeah,
it's,
okay.
You know, take the... No, a lot of people are not rhubarb fans. It's just too bitter for them. Yeah, but a lot of people are. But I promise, if you turn it into a cocktail, if you mix it with some simple syrup and some lime juice and some rum.
What kind of syrup?
Simple syrup, which is
okay.
Just sugar and water melted to sweeten it, you know. And a little rum, shake it up over some ice, pour it into a martini glass. You would love your rhubarb that way.
I'm getting some culture now. This is pretty amazing. Wow. So how did you get onto that?
You know, that's the best question. It's in my cookbook.
Mm-hmm.
And I was interviewing people on Martha's Vineyard. I interviewed this lovely woman named Joan Malkin, And it was the spring on Martha's Vineyard, and she said, you know, I have a great recipe for a rhubarb cocktail. So it ended up in my cookbook. But I printed it on my blog this week because, you know, I was looking for, there's so many great rhubarb desserts, and there are a lot in my cookbook that are rhubarb upside down cake and rhubarb cobbler. There are a lot of things like that. But I thought, you know what, people don't realize you can make a cocktail out of it.
Have you sampled it?
I have. It is delicious.
Okay.
Really delicious. And I'm not a cocktail drinker, actually. I don't like...
Let me ask you a question. Do I look like a cocktail drinker?
Actually,
no,
you don't.
No.
You don't. Exactly. I can't even see you with a pink drink in front of you. That is not really thinkable. But that's okay. You might...
I actually held a champagne glass at a wedding.
I've done that.
I have.
Let's see. You've had a scone once in your life,
right.
And you held a champagne glass once. That's
fine. I'm learning. All right, that's cool. But also, Heather, we do have a link to all your stuff on our website. But remind us again about your fabulous cookbook.
Yes, it's In Cod We Trust, From Sea to Shore, the Celebrated Cuisine of Coastal Massachusetts. So in this case, Martha's Vineyard. And you can purchase the book on my website. You can purchase it, you know, at local bookstores. It's around.
Let me ask a personal question. Do you make more money if it goes directly to your website?
Yes, I do.
Don't
I do.
That.
Yeah. So.
Keep, we'll
yeah,
work.
But it doesn't.
We'll work on that.
It's all even the Amazon sales.
Okay.
You know, it keeps it the numbers up.
Good.
Like, oh, that author is selling books.
Right.
That's probably what matters almost more.
Okay.
You know?
Okay. I didn't realize that. Thanks. Now, what about you went to was it a fish throwdown recently?
I did. Yes, it was a seafood throwdown run by our friends at NAMA, Mia's Dory. It was in Providence, Rhode Island. It was really interesting. It was in not in downtown Providence, but in a neighborhood outside of downtown Providence, but still it's called Armory Park. And it was great. The fish was sea robin.
What?
Sea robin.
You know how Obama just threw down the mic? I just did that. All right, let's go over that one again. I thought you said C. Robin.
I said C. Robin.
You did.
And you know, probably everybody, there were probably 30 people at the seafood throwdown who made the same face you did. In fact, one guy, this very tall, elegant African-American man, just said, I'm not going to eat that thing.
Well, see, that's the thing. Coming from here, you think, you know, you're sophisticated. I know all about the Atlantic and so on. Oh, my God.
Well, I will tell you, sea robin fillets are delicious. Mm-hmm. They are the ugliest things you've ever seen. And they croak, right? Did you know they croak? They make a frog sound.
You're making this all up.
I'm not. They've got wings. They can fly over the ocean. They can fly, like, a good couple of yards above the water. They can bury themselves in the sand. They have heads like a basset hound. And they're pretty ugly, but their fillets are really good.
We can't top this. We should have saved this for our season finale.
I know, it's true. Well, we have another seafood throwdown coming up next weekend in Brooklyn, New York.
Tell me a little bit about the seafood throwdown. Was it two chefs again?
Yes, two chefs. These two chefs lived in this neighborhood. One is a caterer, a great caterer, and the other has her own restaurant called the Baker Street Cafe. The caterer is the Laughing Gorilla. And they lived in that neighborhood. It was a real neighborhood event. There's a kind of Cajun style band arrived at the end of it and started stomping through and, you know, horns going. It was really fun. It was a really great day.
You have introduced me to a whole new world of, never mind cuisine, but also art.
Right. Yeah, and entertainment, right?
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
No, there's a lot to these things.
Okay, so we'll do it again next week?
Please, I hope so. Yes.
Fantastic. With the story behind the recipe, that's Heather Atwood.